You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from LA, and welcome to my show, Show Me the Numbers, every Wednesday at 12 noon. My name is Yael Kagan. I am a hypnotherapist and an NLP master and a master in numerology. I try to bring you information within my industry, and others try to find interesting guests for you, and I do. And today I have a special guest, meeting him in person for the first time today. So welcome, Aaron.
Sorry about that.
So here is a quick welcome to my guest, my special guest, Aaron Ramey, who is the founder and the CEO of Meet Jew, a very interesting platform. I was very, very impressed when I heard about you, first from my son, and then I read about you, and he will explain very shortly. And I welcome you, and I want you to introduce yourself.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Aaron Ramey. I'm the founder and CEO of Meet Jew. We are an online dating and networking platform for Jewish people. And we also throw in-person events all over the United States, but also internationally, Israel. We're looking to do Europe. And we match up other Jews for the purposes of dating, networking, making friends, building community. And we've been going strong now for about 4 years.
So you started right when COVID hit, kind of, right?
Yeah. So we started March 2020. I was still in college at the time, and, you know, the whole world was shutting down, and I was seeing kind of different little Jewish Facebook groups pop up, and I got the idea to do something centered around dating, because I'm thinking, like, what are people going to do? They're going to be on, you know, their dating apps, but they can't meet up with everyone, so we're kind of locked in. So I had an idea to make, like, a community platform centered around dating for mainly Jewish college students, and a Facebook group is a good medium to build a good community. So I created the Facebook group, and it just completely took off, and like thousands and thousands and thousands of people joined. And then we created offshoot groups for older age groups. And 4 years later, we have four Facebook groups, and it's combined like around 65, 70,000 members in all of them. So, yeah.
Very, very, very impressive. And you're saying you started it 4 years ago. I've been working with a lot of, since COVID, I have to say, most of my clients are within like mid-20s all the way to 40s. And I could see the challenges. I could see how people were either very lonely, didn't know where to meet people. There are some other online platforms, but yours is very different, and that's what was catching my eye as I was doing a little research about you. And it's interesting for me to know what inspired you to start a Jewish kind of matchmaking, I would say, platform.
Yeah, so what inspired me initially was just the idea of wanting to connect young Jews during the pandemic, and make it fun and engaging, interactive, and match people up. And then it sort of took off from there and became something a bit bigger. And I brought on my two business partners, Daniel Ibrahimi and Justin Cohen, shout out to them. And we started matching people through a comprehensive survey. And then Justin Cohen, who's our CTO, CIO, he created an algorithm to match people based off that survey. So we started matching people based on compatibility. And then we started doing like Zoom calls where we would do kind of speed dating, and now we do virtual speed dating events fairly often. So it transitioned from, you know, like a fun, engaging thing to keep occupy your time during the pandemic to, okay, we want to match up Jews, you know, everywhere. And I've always been really passionate ever since I went on Birthright in 2015, just about Jewish unity and, you know, getting past our differences to like be unified as a people and whatnot, because throughout history, when we're not unified, not great things happen. And so that combined with just wanting to match up Jews with other Jews, I was just raised from my parents. Basically, I had two requirements, marry Jewish and don't get a tattoo. So that was kind of ingrained in me since I was a kid. So I always wanted to match up other Jews. And yeah, so it started off as just this platform for Jewish college students, but it kept growing to more and more, you know, Baruch Hashem. So.
And I can understand mom and you so well, because I have a son. I think he's 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
And he wasn't dating for like 5 or 6 years, I think, to the point that I was like, is something wrong with you? And he was like, Mom, I just can't find the right person.
Right.
I need
hard.
A Jewish girl. I need someone who knows what it means to light Shabbat candles and to keep kosher. And I looked at him and I was like, wow, either I did something right or he's just, you know, doing the right thing. And he was picky, yes, but at the end he found what he needed. So chapeau to you for doing that, because so many, you know, young people in this age are just very lost. We're having all kind of challenges in the Jewish world to begin with.
Yeah.
So that's on top of it. So I'm proud of you, you know, for being at your age and doing what you are doing. And I do feel that we need to talk. We spoke a little bit before the show, but how we came from the traditional matchmaking in the Jewish world, if you will explain a little bit about what you know about it, into what is happening today.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting topic if you're not, you know, well-versed in sort of the matchmaking aspect of the Jewish world. So it's funny, because early on I was actually getting interviewed from, I think, a lady in Tennessee, a Jewish newspaper out there. And she's like, how does it feel to be a matchmaker being a man? Because it's typically like an old, the stereotype is like a kind of old Jewish, like, I guess, yenta, like in the shtetl or something, like matching up people and matching up Jews within the community. And number one, I don't necessarily identify myself as a matchmaker. I just kind of create the environment for Jews to meet each other, but we do matchmaking. But the traditional model in the Jewish community, especially amongst like religious Orthodox Jews, is you go to someone called a shadchan, which is like a matchmaker, and you submit like a resume to them, like a full resume profile of just who you are as a person and what you're looking for, and then that shadchan will match you with someone else in the community. And that's still very much popular amongst more like Orthodox and religious Jewish communities. And then you'll go on a date. If you're ever in Jerusalem in Israel, like if you go to a hotel like
lobby,
you'll see a bunch of like an Orthodox Jewish man and Orthodox Jewish woman, like kind of sitting a bit away from each other. And they're all in the lobbies and they're all on dates, and it's all arranged by a matchmaker. So that's like a very traditional Jewish model of matchmaking that still exists, thank God. I think it's fantastic. But, you know, for Jews that aren't necessarily Orthodox, maybe they're traditional, you know, like Masorti, conservative, like, or even just secular, they still want to date someone Jewish, but they might not want as formal as a process. So I think where we come in is we're not just like a swipe app like some of the other ones that exist. We do intentional matchmaking. We have a comprehensive survey that you can take. We do these virtual speed dating events. We have a ton of in-person events, all different types of events you can think of everywhere. So it's really centered around community. And I think that allows for more genuine connections, as opposed to just you're kind of isolated on an app or something like that. So our approach is very community-based, and I think it works well with the Jewish community, because we're very being Jewish and observing Judaism is very communal, right? Like you go to shul, you go to the kosher restaurant, you go to a Torah class, like you got to be around
tradition, mentality.
Exactly. Even if you're not necessarily Orthodox, right? So, you know, we create an environment and a space for Jews that are not necessarily Orthodox, although we do have a lot of Orthodox Jews that come, to meet someone, right? So I think that's kind of what separates us from maybe other dating apps or dating platforms or even very traditional Jewish matchmaking.
Right, and we spoke a little bit about it, and I do want to touch it because I do want to show how are you very different, and that's what I like about it, from other platforms that exist. Because we know there is JDate, and we know that there is Tinder, and whatever is out
there's a lot.
Which I, as a therapist, always had my say about it because a lot of my clients were using it, and there's something I didn't like about it. And like I said before, putting too much information on a first chat, and a lot of it is not true. A lot of it is what you want them to know about you or what you want them to think about you. And then as you go, you start recognizing and start finding out the information that may be different from what they actually post. So I always had a problem with it. And you find yourself already in a relationship. You are always like already interested within someone, knowing then later on that, wait a second, it's not exactly what he was showing me or she was showing, and now I have a problem with it. In kind of like what you are doing, you are taking it to the old world, to the way that I was dating in my time,
right,
when we actually went and met people.
Sure.
And first meeting, like you said, in the religious world, it's like sitting in a hotel lobby because you cannot be alone. I wasn't in that world. But you meet someone, and first you see how they look, and you see their body language, and you see how they behave, and you start asking questions, and that's how you get to know people. And you're basically taking it back to that, which is something I really like, for basically telling people, don't isolate yourself, don't sit at home, don't just sit with your phone and, you know, go right or left, but just come to a party, or I will, you know, give you the microphone to talk about those events, because that is also what is making it very different.
Yeah.
It's come to whatever events that you will share. I saw them on the Instagram today. You are relating the events to some Jewish holidays I saw and events, and you basically tell them, come, enjoy, meet other female friends, meet other male friends, and in between you may find the one that's maybe your match.
100%. Yeah, because what these apps do is they kind of create a false reality of who you are. Like, there's so many terms just since the advent of dating apps in the last 10 years, so many like slang terms that are associated with apps. Like, you get ghosted, which means like someone is not, you talk to someone and they just stop talking to you, right? Like, or you get catfished, which is like, they're completely not who the person they are, they say they are on their profile, right? Or, you know, just like kind of like, even the different apps are kind of associated with a different mentality on dating. Like Tinder's like, oh, it's like they're not looking for anything serious, just for fun. Or like, you know, Hinge is actually a good app. Maybe they're looking for something more serious. But a lot of these apps do isolate people and they do create a false reality. And so our approach is community-based, but also doing these in-person events as much as possible. We've done Shabbat dinners, speed dating events. We've done big, you know, huge parties. You know, a lot of times they're around like a chag, like Purim or Rosh Hashanah or something like that. But we also do American holidays, July 4th, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Valentine's Day. Just any way that like Jews would maybe go out, like for a holiday, Jewish or not, we like try to have an event so they come to us. And, you know, sometimes it's more intentional where it's like advertised just as a singles event, just as speed dating. Other times it's just like come out and meet people. You know, there's couples that come that want to just come and make friends. And I think it makes the process a lot more organic. You know, you're able to talk to more people in that time frame. Maybe you exchange a few numbers and then you can go on some dates. And it, I don't know, it just creates that sense, I guess, of more of connection and community, right? Because you really do isolate yourself when you're on these dating apps and you're by yourself. Even if you're like going out with friends to the bar, to a club or something, it's like, it's not intentional, right? Like, what are you going to really meet someone Jewish or of your religious or ethnic background, like at a bar necessarily, or even just amongst like going about your day-to-day life? Like, if you're dating intentional, if you want to date a specific type of person, you have to place yourself in that environment to create the conditions to do so. And we try to do that as much as possible. And I think that my generation, especially because we grew up with social media and dating apps, it's like that's the norm that we're used to, but it's absolutely not the norm, right? Like, you know, before the internet, before social media, you would meet someone maybe at your shul, maybe at a community event, maybe a friend of a friend, maybe in your friend group. Like, it would be a lot more, I don't know, real, I guess. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have all these like preconceived notions of the person beforehand. And even in my own personal dating life, like, always the best connections that I've ever had, like, it's come from meeting them in person. Maybe we were talking online a little bit before, but like, once I was in person, it was either like, well, I really, you know, like this girl, or like, we don't have that great of a connection. So you can never replace meeting in real life.
Yeah, it feels to me, again, I've never, you know, tried any of those, that it's a little bit less intimidating, because all those apps, there's a lot of rejection that's involved, and that's bringing people even more down. Instead of, you know, bringing them up and making it better, it makes it worse. So I feel that by going into an event like that, yes, you are going for a certain purpose, but you are also going to a party where you meet other people. Something good will come out of it.
100%.
It's not just concentrating on the rejection. If I'll find, if I want, what if I like him and he doesn't like me? It's not a one-on-one thing. It's a community, like you said, and I like it. And by the way, what exactly, when they fill up, what is it, an application to sign up for the website or the...
So for events, all they need to do is you just follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or go on our website, meetyou.org. Instagram is at meetyouofficial. And you can get a ticket to one of our events. But if you want to, like, if you are more... I don't know, if you're in an area where not having events, or you want to just not go to one of our events in person, like, we have a couple different options. Like, you can go on our website, and we have a comprehensive dating survey that you can take that does match people up, but it's a lot more intentional. We're asking for your religious beliefs, your political beliefs, your interests, your hobbies. Like, you can submit a picture so you can see what someone looks like, but we're trying to match people based on compatibility, based off that survey, and then we have an algorithm that filters everything out, and then we send out matches every couple weeks via email. And then we also do virtual speed dating events about every 4 to 6 weeks or so on a partner platform that we work with, so you're able to actually see the person's face and sort of create some of it a real life connection based off that. So you can do those two things in person, or sorry, online. Or the other option is you join one of our Facebook groups. You can post a profile, a bio of yourself, and meet someone like that. But, you know, we always encourage people to come out to our events as much as possible. I think that's the best way to meet people. So, yeah, that's how you can meet someone via Meet You.
And you kept mentioning speed dating. What exactly is speed dating?
So we've done it in person, where we have, like, we've done it now in New York and Chicago. Basically, it's like 40 to 60 people, and you're just running through anywhere from like 5 to 10 dates. It's like 3 to 5 minutes, and you're just meeting a lot of people. And then the same model that we do also online as well, where you're getting anywhere from like 3 to 7 dates. They're about anywhere, I think, 5 to 7 minutes long. You're just meeting a bunch of people within that hour. So you're trying to form some sort of connections.
But it's
as well.
Like a Zoom, it's remotely.
Yeah, it's actually a platform called datenight.ai, and we work pretty closely with them. It's a really good platform, and you sign up, and then you're able to, like, video chat with the other person for, you know, the allotted time amount, and you can match with the other person or not. So people have also been meeting off that as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's
because some people are, you know, maybe a bit more introverted or like social anxiety. They want to like talk to someone, but maybe like they don't want to be in this big event, or maybe they're just in maybe a remote area, right? They don't have access to like our events or other Jewish organizations' events, which is actually something that is a long-term goal of mine, is to have events in cities where there's Jewish communities, but they're not like as large as LA or New York City or Miami or something, because there's so many events out there. So trying to hit communities where, you know, there's Jews, but it's not like the infrastructure in some of these other cities as well.
And how do you do it in places like that? You need to find like a key person that will make it happen.
Yeah. So how we've done it is we'll like partner up with like organizations within those cities, like a YJP, which is a Young Jewish Professionals organization, or maybe there's, you know, kind of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? They're like a socialite within the community and they can kind of work with us. Or sometimes people just reach out and be like, hey, I want to partner with you on an event in Boston or Chicago or Denver or even where I live in San Diego. And yeah, you just kind of have to be scrappy and hustle. And, you know, it's, we try to find a good venue or try to work out a good deal with a venue or someone's home or something. So it's a community effort. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of networking, but, you know, we try to pull it off as much as possible. And then from there, you got to get in the community. You get in, there's like these WhatsApp chats, community chats that are for Jewish people in every city you can think of. So you get in those WhatsApp chats, you spread the message in there, you get in local Facebook groups, you do social media ads to that community. And yeah, you use like the little socialites that are in that community to spread the word. So, yeah, because there's a lot of Jews in like cities outside of those big three that, you know, they want to meet someone Jewish as well. It's just a bit harder.
Right. For so, sure. Yeah. And right now, in which cities or states are you doing events?
So we do a lot in Southern California because I'm in San Diego. One of my other business partners, Daniel, is in Los Angeles. So we've done a lot of stuff in San Diego and Los Angeles and even Orange County. Another business partner lives in New Jersey right now. He was in New York. So we do a lot in New York. We have done a good amount of stuff in South Florida, but we've also done stuff in Chicago, Boston. We've partnered with on different events in like Washington, D.C. area. I'm trying to think where else. It's been a lot.
But I'm sure people also fly and just come to
the
events.
They do, yeah. We had a really large Yom HaTzmut party in San Diego last year, and people flew in from Vegas, Arizona, Atlanta, like it was about 500 people. That's Michael and Lee Tal were actually there. That was
that's
a great
how
event.
I first heard about.
Yeah, you. So, yeah, it just kind of depends on the event, and
so we need to spread it as much as possible because yes, you are doing it in. I think I saw on the 15 you have something for like few events for Shavuot.
So we try to work with as many organizations as possible on their events too. I'm not someone who's like gatekeeping, like, oh, just come to our events. Like, no, go to everyone's events. It helps. It just helps. It brings more people out. So we're working with someone named Nellie's List. She's been around for a very long time, like 20 years doing matchmaking events. So we're partners with her and we're helping promote her event in Miami and Los Angeles this Saturday night. And then we're working on doing something for July 4th. And then we're going to be going to like San Francisco and Philadelphia in the next couple months, New York City again, even though they do have a lot of events out there, but we get a lot of requests to still have events there. So, just trying to go everywhere.
And what are the ages? I mean, I don't know if you limit it, but what age do you see right now?
So the age range is typically 20s and 30s. I'd say it's the average age is probably like 28, 29, 30. But, you know, we get people up until their late 30s, early 40s. And another thing that I want to do as well with Meet Jew is I want to cater to the older crowd, like 30s, 40s, and 50s, who are still single or maybe they were previously married because they don't get as many events for them. But that's definitely a need. So I definitely want to start doing events for them, even older, like 50s, 60s, 70s as well, because, you know, everybody needs to find love. So that's something that I want to hit. But, you know, me and my two business partners, we're all in our 20s. So that it's kind of the natural organic thing that happened was we were helping people kind of around our age. But I definitely do want to help Jews that are older that are looking as well.
Right. So. But I think this age, the 20s and 30s, is the age that is more stressful because of the need to have children. That's why at this age they're like, hey, wake up. We need to get married.
Yeah.
So that's probably early. Where the biggest need is. But you are right. It's also older ages. Share with me some success stories. I mean, I did read, but I want you to share it. But I saw some nice, interesting stories.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, I was in Greenwich, Connecticut for one of my business partner's weddings, Justin Cohen. Shout out, Justin. He married his now wife, Sarah Myers. They met through us on Meet You. The first wedding I ever went to from a couple that met through us was at 770 Chabad in Crown Heights. So, like, we've matched couples that are, like, very religious and very secular. I'll be at events, or not even our events, I'll be at, like, other Jewish events or happenings in the community, and I'll have someone come up to me like, oh, I met my fiance from you guys, or, oh, my friends are married from you guys. So, yeah, we've had a lot of marriages at this point. I think it's around, I want to say it's around 50 at this point. And
wow, that's impressive.
Couple, 200-300 couples that are like engaged or dating all over, like the Netherlands, Israel, Florida, Boston, yeah, LA, literally everywhere, Texas. So, like, I got invited to a wedding in Texas where it was like cowboy themed, and like, it's just everything you can think of. So it's really cool.
That's quite amazing. I think it's funny that Israel is also looking for the same thing when everyone around you, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of Jewish people around them, but they're still looking for those platforms for connections.
Yeah, it's interesting because you would think, oh, you're just in Israel but around Jews all the time, right. So you could find someone. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to events or that they're dating intentionally or whatnot. And also, like, Israel has different, has interesting, like, societal dynamics, right? There's a lot of, like, olim, like, immigrants, like, that are English-speaking, and their Hebrew is, like, not so great, so they want to meet someone that's English-speaking. But then there's also, like, Israeli-Americans, right, like yourself, that, like, you know, maybe they grew up in Israel, they had kids in America, and then the kids moved to Israel, but it's hard for them to date, like, a Sabra, like a native-born Israeli. Like, they want to date someone Israeli-American. Like, there's so many different little...
We're so complicated.
Yeah, very complicated. So there's so many little nuances that, like, you would think, oh, you're in Israel, you're just going to meet someone. But no, there's, like, every flavor of Jew there. So, like, even there, we've, like, done it. We did a couple events last summer, and, like, you know, we get a different types of Jews out there. It's really, it's interesting. So it's needed everywhere, I guess.
Very interesting. And I'll take you away a little bit from the conversation. How difficult is it to be a Jew your age in the United States?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my experience personally, like, I think has been a little bit different from many people. Like, I kind of got my neshama, like, lit on fire on when I went on Birthright when I was 19. So, like, I grew up, like, pretty much Reform, like, not really that engaged. Like, we had a Zionist household, like, being Jewish was important, but it wasn't, like, I guess the main aspect of who I was. And then when I went on Birthright, that kind of changed everything, and I was super involved. I was very involved in college with, like, pro-Israel advocacy and things like that. But, like, what made me hyper aware of my Jewishness was, like, actually in April of 2019, like, my dad and I were supposed to go to the last day of Passover. It was on Shabbat at the synagogue that I went to for preschool. It's called Chabad of Poway. And, like, it was attacked, like a terrorist attack. And one of our congregants died, and the rabbi got shot. Oh. And that was, like, my wake-up call for... And this is, like, a little suburb of San Diego. Like, you wouldn't think anything happens there. So that was, like, my wake-up call to be like, oh, wow, okay. Like, this is... this anti-Semitism stuff that my Zadie, who's a Holocaust survivor, told me is very real. So that was kind of my, like, massive wake-up call. And then, you know, over the last few years, even before October 7th, there was a lot of, like, bubbling up of anti-Semitism. And then October 7th happened, and then, you know, we've seen what's happened since. So I've kind of, I don't know what the word is, kind of been awake to, like, this level of Jewish hatred, I guess, that exists. Even before October 7th, but, you know, now I'm seeing, like, friends who have kind of been not involved for a long time being like, wow, okay, I've lost a lot of friends who I didn't think were anti-Semitic at all or anything, and they've completely turned on me. So It's been challenging, I guess, but I guess one good thing that has come out of it is that I am seeing a lot of Jews who are maybe totally disconnected, weren't involved in any way. They're getting way more involved now. They're coming to events. They want to date someone Jewish. They just want to be around other Jews, which is like an amazing thing to see. So, you know, like Judaism is always trying to find lightness in the dark. So there's been a lot of light to come out of it, but it's difficult. You know what I mean? Like I'm like definitely hyper aware. Hyper aware when I get an Uber. I'm hyper aware, like, when I'm in New York, if I'm in the subway and I'm wearing, like, my hostage tag, like, just hyper aware, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because in psychology there is the fight-flight mechanism, mm-hmm. which is a surviving mode, and you can see how some people just choose to escape. Like, I'm not going to put my necklace anymore, and I'm not going to speak Hebrew, and I'm not going to show that I'm Jewish, and I'm just going to escape
right.
this whole situation. And something else that we've been seeing, and again, it's something to do with personality, is the fight. No, I'm going to fight. I'm going to be with my Jewish people. I'm going to wear my symbols. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to surround myself with the Jewish people. So you can see from both worlds. I'm seeing it also, like with my daughter, at least with my son. I never had that problem.
Yeah.
But I think it's important because the only way to be able to deal with it is to have a supporting community.
100%.
And if people are not within the right community, and I don't say that other communities are not good. I'm not judgmental in any way.
Right.
I'm just saying that when we are isolated the way we are right now, when we are being judged, and I'm not trying to tell anybody, don't judge me or I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
I'm absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let me just be with my people. And it will make me stronger,
100%.
And it will make us stronger together.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've always, you know, tried to teach my kids. When I said I prefer, like you said, your mom told you marry a Jew
yeah.
and never tattoo. The
yeah.
exact same things I said at home.
Yeah.
And thank God none of my kids has any tattoos. And exactly. So it's very important what we tell our kids, and it's very important why we choose to marry a Jew, not because others are not good. It's because of tradition
yeah.
that have been for thousands of years. So there's a reason behind it. And mentality, there's nothing you can do. The relationship are really challenging in any way. I mean, a lot of my clients
yeah.
are relationships, a lot of Israelis together, Americans, doesn't matter. There are so many challenges. Why more?
Yeah. Something that I say is like, do you really want to tell like the person that you're dating why you need to fast on this random day in September, October when they want to go get something to eat and like you're not drinking any water and you're going to shul like for Yom Kippur or like, you know, for Tisha B'Av? Like it's just there's a built-in understanding, right? And like it's with any community, you know, there's other Facebook groups, there's other dating platforms for all different types of communities, Christians, Black people meet. There's like something called subtle curry dating for people that are Indian or in that region of the world. So it's just easier, right? And like when you're dating someone Jewish, you just have kind of a built-in understanding. Even if like someone grew up more religious than the other, it's like, okay, we fast on Yom Kippur. Like we light the Hanukkah on Hanukkah. Like, you know, we dress up for Purim. Like, okay, like you maybe don't keep Shabbat. I sort of keep Shabbat. Like maybe you kosher-ish style. I eat whatever I want. Like whatever. You like have these. You don't have to explain it. You just
right.
have it right
and
there.
And you find the middle, but at least
yeah.
you come from the first.
It's just kind
place.
Of built in. It's just so much easier to do, you know? So there's that thing. And going back to the fight or flight with what's going on right now, my worldview on this is just like you got to be outspoken and loud as proud as possible. I think individually speaking, when you kind of hide yourself and you cower in fear, I understand why people do it because they're like scared of getting beat up, especially if they're alone. But if you do that, you're basically like you're limiting your potential and ability to like be confident as a person, because when you're hiding things, like it just you just get like this psychological effect where you're just kind of scared of everything, right? You're not facing challenges. So I would say that even not from just like the anti-Semitic part, like just hiding something, like it just, it really, whatever the opposite of being free is, like enslaved, I guess, like that's what it does to you. So that's something that I would say for people who are kind of scared to be Jewish right now, like you need to like take that bold action to like wear your Magen David or wear a kippah or whatever it is to show that you're Jewish, even if you might encounter some not so great people for it, like you're going to get more courage. That's the Israeli mentality, to be brave and courageous. Like, don't deal with this BS from the anti-Semites. So I would say that. And I would also say that, like, if you examine Jewish history, the reason why we're still here is because of Jews that were extremely proud and stubborn about being Jewish, whether it was the Maccabees, whether it was the Jews on Masada that were, the Romans were coming and, you know, they said, we'd rather die Jewish than be Roman. Like, you look out through Jewish history, like the Jews that have sustained us are the ones that are very proud and outspoken. And that would be my recommendation for everyone. That's something that I try to do. I try to wear the chai necklace or the tags out everywhere after October 7th. Like, I don't wear a kippah out in public. I'm pretty traditional, but I don't wear a kippah out like that. I was wearing a kippah everywhere I was going. People were coming up to me being like, I support you. Like, we have a lot more supporters than you think as well. It's a very loud, vocal minority. But I would say the first step is like, you show that you're outwardly Jewish. You kind of sit in that discomfort, and then like you'll get more strength and more courage as you do that.
Right. So. And I do have to say, as one that went to a lot of the protests here in LA from the day it started, and in the past few weeks because of what was going on in colleges, we said, let's go and protest, not because we want to protest, because we want to show our Jewish students that we are with them.
100%.
You are not alone. We are here and nothing will happen to you.
100%.
And I did see a tremendous power coming from the Christian world. Different pastors that came and said, we're with you. We love you. We agree with you.
Yeah.
Which was quite amazing.
100%.
And I do want to share something that, an advice that I got from my son for my daughter, who has been, you know, seeing it in through med school, but only since October 7, not before that, that also was isolated. People were judging her because she's American. I mean, she was born here, but right. Knowing that her parents are Israeli and she's Jewish and what, so she never posted anything. She's very quiet about it. But she, you know, she witnessed some not so nice things. And my son said something very smart. He said, Ima, we as Jew needs to sometimes understand that we may not be the popular ones.
Yeah.
And people may not like us for the next, whatever, few months or years. But it doesn't mean that because of that, we have to bend down. We have to do the exact opposite. You have to have a backbone. People will appreciate you later because you were standing for your ideals, for your rights, for what is right for you. Even if other people may not like it, you still have to go with it. And I think that's one thing I want to tell, you know, anyone of the audience that is listening, to not be afraid. If you're afraid, you have a community. Find a community. Be surrounded with other people with the same thoughts, with the same ideas like yours. And then you will feel more comfortable. And here we are opening the audience to an amazing platform, which is for dating. But like you said, it's also for just Jewish people to come together, just be together. Obviously, if your match is there, you will find the match. That's exactly what's going to happen. And that's why I love what you do.
Thank you.
Now, I saw that you started it. You were still students, I believe. Mm-hmm. And some of you are working other jobs. Like how, I'm sure it's costing a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you do that?
So, yeah. So that's been like, it's a hustle. It's a grind. It's a struggle. I'm not going to lie. My two business partners, they have jobs. I've worked a number of part-time jobs, side hustles over the years. And right now, we're trying to fundraise. We recently became a fiscally sponsored 501c3 nonprofit, so we went that route. So we're just trying to fundraise right now. If you want to help out, you can go to meetyou.org and donate there, or follow us on Instagram, meetyouofficial, and also donate there. Because to do these events and to be able to pay ourselves so we can actually do this full time in the long term. We need that funding. And I think one of the things in the Jewish world that has been a little bit frustrating is that there's so many do-it-yourself organizations and young startups like ours, where their people are our age in their 20s and 30s, and they need funding. They need, you know, the Jewish philanthropists that are giving to, like, the big institutions. They need to be giving to us, frankly. Like, I understand why they're giving to the big institutions, but someone like me and someone like others that I could probably shout out a bunch of names right now. My friend Millennial Rabbi is doing great work with his Solex. Frankie Burns with Nice Jewish. Like, there's so many startup organizations that, like, need funding because it takes a lot of time, money, and energy, resources
to do these,
and advertising and marketing to do these events and pull them off and hopefully be able to pay yourself to make it a living. So, like, I would say, like, to any Jewish philanthropist watching this, or any kids who have parents that are philanthropists, like, reach out and give to our organizations, because we're on the ground, like, doing the work. We're organizing the events. We're matching the Jews. We're providing the community. We're providing the connection. We are at the protests. We're in the thick of it, and we're the next generation up. And we have a lot of issues that we're going to have to deal with and are dealing with, and you need resources to do that. So I would say, please donate whatever you can, whether it's $5 or $5,000, whatever.
5,000 is better.
Yeah, we like the 5,000 a lot, but anything helps at all. So that's something that we've been trying to focus on as well, because, you know, it's not easy being an entrepreneur trying to make it work financially. It's a lot of work. It's hard. I love it, but, like, you know, that's a grind. So, you know, if any way that you could help out us, help out the organizations that I mentioned, or there's so many others that I can think of, but that's a constant topic of conversation with me and other people in my space and my industry that are like, okay, we need some of this to trickle down from the big Jewish institutions and the older donors and philanthropists, because times are changing. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't necessarily just give to, you know, your local federation or whatever. They do great work, but you got to give to people that are, like, really starting their own initiatives, because they're the ones with the energy, they're the one with the passion. They don't have all this bureaucracy that they have to go through. They can kind of take the money and really make good use of it. So, like, we've been able to create hundreds of matches and do tons and tons of events over the last few years with very limited resources, and it's been a hustle, and it's getting better now, but it's, like, constant. You know, you gotta pull your weight. So that's something that I would say for that.
And do contact other foundations, because I volunteer as in a board of the Israeli center, a new center that opened in Encino. Mm-hmm. And I found that they're all, even whether it's Google, Amazon, different companies, different foundations have a lot of grants. Even Venmo has grants, by the way. And you can just contact them as a nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
And apply. It's very, very easy, but you probably need also volunteers to do all those works for you.
Yeah.
But by all means, I mean, let's go with the fight and not the flight.
Yeah, 100%. And always do it. Fight.
100%. And that's why we are spreading this, because we want more people to know about them. We want, if we don't have, or if they don't have more participants, then it's not going to grow. And you're growing amazingly in the 4 years since you opened, but it definitely needs to grow. So if you are participating, if you know anyone that may be interested in donating to someone like that, definitely spread it all over. Any message before we'll finish, like a message I would say to the world, because I told you that I picked on your date of birth because I'm a numerologist and that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And I saw very interesting numbers. Obviously, I'm not going to share it here, but I looked only at two of your numbers, which is the day that you were born and the your life path number, which is the strongest number. And like I told you, you have an amazing combination between the nurturing, the responsible, the family-oriented person. I told you it's a therapist. It's the person that came to help other people in different ways. You chose this way, which is great. And also combined with a compassionate, idealistic, spiritual, which is your Judaism, I would say. and strive to make the world a better place. And again, everyone may look at it differently. Some people will say make the world a better place is taking care of the animals or whatever. Let's go vegan. Let's go whatever. Different ways of doing it. You chose this way, and it's like a perfect, perfect way for you to use your life path number and your potential. So I love it that you're doing it, but because you came to make this world a better world, I want to see if you can give us like an ending message to everyone in the world, you know what, not just the Jewish world.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for something like that, one of the big pillars that is in the Jewish community is tikkun olam, which is repairing the world and whatnot through mitzvot. I would just say, like, you know, after October 7th, like, we've seen kind of the world, like, be a little bit chaotic and a little bit of a mess. So, honestly, just doing little things for me throughout the day, like, I try to hold the door open for people, like, little things like that, or just giving little compliments throughout the day. I find that, like, these little things that you do that seem mundane are actually make a big difference. They actually make society a better place, because I'm really focused on, like, Tikkun Haba, which is like, you know, repairing the Jewish world and the Jewish community, but like we also should be trying to repair the world out there as well. So I would say just do little mitzvot, little good deeds, things that you can help out, whatever your cause may be. And they can be as small as holding the door open. They can be as big as donating a bunch of money to a charity. They can be something that I love, like helping dogs at an animal shelter. So I would say concentrate on the little things that you can do in your own life, because you focus on the big grand things. Those are great, but like that's really difficult. And like change happens through these like little incremental little steps. Like something I heard recently was like from my friend who's in yeshiva. He was telling me like the Rebbe, the Chabad Rebbe, basically said like, mitzvahs like beget mitzvahs. So you do one good deed and then another good deed happens. Like he just got married because he was in the line at a grocery store in Toronto, just visiting, and like the kid in front of him couldn't afford the milk. So he paid for his milk. He did a mitzvah for him. And then there was like a shadchan there who saw it. And she's like, oh my God, that was so sweet that you did that. Are you single? And he's like, yeah, but I'm not looking really to date in Toronto because I live in Israel. I'm like at yeshiva. And she was like, okay, well, give me your information and I'll see if I can find you someone while you're visiting. She texted him. She said, I have a great girl that like I think you'd be interested in. They hit it off. They got engaged within 6 weeks, and he just invited me to his wedding in July. Wow. Just from that little interaction of him like paying for that milk, and because he went to the store because he was hungry, this lady was like, oh my God, you're a mensch. So, like, these little tiny things that you do, like, that you might think is insignificant, you're just trying to help someone out, like, it can lead to, you know, Hashem putting a lot of blessings in your life. So that applies to everyone, Jewish or not. Just, like, you know, trying to help people out in your day-to-day can, like, get blessings for you and blessings for others as well. So I would say that. Focus on those little things. Those matter a lot.
And I call it the law of attraction. I talk about it a lot in my shows, how you can attract energy. So by putting it out there, you attract it back to you. If you spread something good, you will attract something good coming your way.
Yeah, 100%.
So we should all be, not just the Jewish world. I mean, everyone in the world should be more focused on love. It comes from self-love before everything. But spread love, acceptance, accept people, and be less judgmental. I know that things in the world right now may look terrible. The subconscious mind does not know to differentiate between right and wrong. So whatever you are seeing, you believe this is the truth. Just always tell yourself, maybe there is another truth behind it. Maybe I should not be judgmental. Maybe I should just love and accept other people for what they are. And then this world will become a much, much better place.
Amen.
And I do want to tell you that I'm happy that I met you, and I'm happy with the connection that my son did here. It started from that. I didn't even know.
Shout out to Michael Kagan. Yeah. Sadiq.
Yeah, he is. And I admire you. I admire you for doing it at your age. You know, people, I mean, I've just had a visit to Nike corporate headquarters, and I saw people, it's all about, you know, the money and like great environment. But you chose something different. You really chose to do something to change the world. And I appreciate it. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in this world, definitely on behalf of me.
Thank you.
And I really hope that this show will spread only good things, and good things will come your way. And I'm happy to send my donation because I truly believe in what you do. I really appreciate it. And spread it. Spread, you know, the show. Spread whatever you do. Just let it be out there so that people know more and more. It was a pleasure to meet you.
You too. Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed it.
100%. It was very enjoyable. And I'm happy to see that there are people like you in the world.
There's really a lot of us. We're doing good work, you know?
We just have to put you together.
Exactly. Pay attention. Put us together, and also pay attention to the people who are doing good work, because there's a lot of people that are every day just trying to help others and, you know, make the world a better place, make the Jewish world a better place. And, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Also, bring them home. Am Yisrael Chai.
100%.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
That was good.